First Chronicles 29. I want to read several passages, and you'll see how pertinent they are as we read them. First Chronicles chapter 29, look at verse 26. Now David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now that's a lovely description of David in his old age. Listen. It says he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. But let's turn to 1 Kings now. 1 Kings, verse 1. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Wherefore his servant said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the borders of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and she cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. Now let's turn to Psalm 6. Psalm 6. Notice that it says at the heading, A Psalm of David. I told you about the titles of the Psalms, and I want to read a little from Psalm 6, and then another Psalm. Verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am withered away. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is sore troubled, and thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Save me for thy loving kindness' sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave or in Sheol, who shall give thee thanks? Remember that verse well. Listen. In death there is no remembrance of thee. In Sheol, who shall give thee thanks? David said that at one period in his life. Now, Psalm 17. And look at verse 14. David is crying to God because it says in Psalm 17, a Psalm of David, the same man who wrote Psalm 6 wrote Psalm 17, and this is what it says. It says, Save me, O God, from men by thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy treasure. They are satisfied with children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy form. How different from what he says in Psalm 6. That's enough for now. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for all things you tell us about your servants in the Word of God. You tell us of their fears. You tell us of the things that fill their hearts with doubt. And then you tell us, our Father, of the assurances they have as well. We thank you for this. We thank you for what you've told us about David. You've told us also about Elijah and concerning all of your servants in the Old Testament. You could say this, they are men of like passions. We have seen this with sadness in the life of David and in the life of Elijah and in the life of John the Baptist. And so, our Father, we thank you that you show us those things in the hearts of men. But then also, you show us courage and strength that come the sum of the hearts of men. So help us, our God, this morning to understand about David, the old man. We remember that he said, I have been young and now am old. We thought about David throughout his life, our God. And now we come to the last period of his life, David, the old man. So help us this day as you have in past days. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Do you know what happens to old men, no matter how long they live? Eventually, they all die. I'll mention Enoch and Elijah. Now, apart from them, tell me any man who has ever escaped death. Well, since the beginning of creation, only two, Enoch and Elijah, have escaped death. What do you think is going to happen to you? Now, if you are holy enough, if you have walked with God for 300 years, if you have served God as Elijah did, there may be a chance that you are exempt from death. But how many of you really think that God is going to specially come and take you to heaven as he did Enoch? Neither do I. And so, as I said concerning David, what happens to all old men, no matter how long they live? They die. And it speaks of David in his youth, and then it speaks of David in his old age, and then it speaks of David in death. So let's think of that. Think of David in death, but let's think of David just as I read you in portions of God's Word. I read to you a beautiful description, and this is the way that I want God to describe me if the Lord doesn't come before I die. That John Mills lived to be a good old age, full of days. He died with honor and riches. Everybody loved him. He was this, wouldn't that be beautiful? But this is what it says in Kings. It says out of David in Chronicles, but it says in Kings that David was an old man, stricken in years, and he was freezing to death. Now, you understand that, don't you? And so, behind it all, after David dies, it tells us about David before he died. And if you have ever known an old man named Charles Rolls, this description of David fitted him. It says, David gat him no heat. I knew Charles Rolls from the time he was 73 years old, and he lived to be almost 100. And if ever there were a man who gat him no heat, it was Charles Rolls. For this reason, in July, on one occasion, he was being transported from Asheville, North Carolina, Waynesville, to stay in my home. And the two people that brought him, George Yakarshi and Clayton Davis, had to drive him in their car, and it's July, and they had to keep the windows up, absolutely no breeze blowing, and the man had on an overcoat sitting in the back seat. This is what happens to old men. Things happen. And sad to say, it happened to David when he was an old man. It says, he gat him no heat. I would like to think that the special servants of God were exempt from such suffering, but they are not. And this is what Joshua said before he died. He said, behold, I go the way of all the earth. And David said, I go the way of all the earth. And Jacob said, behold, I die, and I shall be joined to my fathers. And it says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Well then, if death is inevitable unless we happen to be living when Christ comes, and your fathers who died did not live that long, nor your grandfathers, nor your great-grandfathers, nobody has lived that long, and there is no certainty that you're going to live that long. And so, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. So, what should we do knowing that death is inevitable? God tells. He tells us, and he gives the advice to Hezekiah twice in the Bible. In Isaiah 38, this is what he says. He says, Isaiah, go and give this message to Hezekiah. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And this is a responsibility that has devolved upon David as well, to set his house in order, because he's going to die and not live. Well, if this is so, and you know that you're going to die, then there is no question about that. The only thing that is important is what Christ says concerning Peter, that apostle that caused so much discord. This is what the Savior said to Peter. He said, when you were young, you girded yourself, and you walk wherever you wanted to. He said, but when thou shalt become old, another shall gird you. You'll have to stretch out your hands, and they will have to assist you, and they will take you where you do not want to go. And it says, this he said, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. Then do you know the only thing that's important in your life? You're going to die. The only thing important in his life is when you die, if you glorify God in your death. Now let me ask you, concerning Ananias and Sapphira. Suppose a servant of God came to you and asked you, tell me the truth. Have you given this much money to God? And you said, yes, I've given all the money to God. And God struck you dead. Do you think that kind of death would glorify God? Do you? You say no. What about his wife? Tell me, did you give this much money to God? Yes, that is how much money we gave to God. And she was stricken down and died. Do you think that death glorified God? You say no. Well then, the thing that you should do is to be planning on your death, that when you do die, your death shall be one that glorifies God. Let me tell you what happened here in Bethel years ago. I never knew it was going to happen. They were having special meetings with one brother among the assemblies, and I happened to be in Bethel, and I was on the main street, and I was giving out invitations for people to go to his meetings and hear the gospel and be saved. And as I was giving out those invitations, the man who was holding the meetings came along and looked upon me and smiled. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? If just before you died or when you died, you were giving out invitations, telling people how to be saved, witnessing, living for God, you were at a remembrance meeting, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. If you died then, tell me, would that be a manner in which God would be glorified? You say, yes. Well then, you can determine the way that you die in glorifying God. That you may die of sickness, that you may die of an accident, that you have no control over. But the spiritual condition in which you find yourself when you die, that is under your control. Now God, in his goodness, gave David and gave Samson time to repent. Do you remember how Samson's hair was cut off? He was blinded and he was grinding as an animal at the grist mill for the Philistines. But it says, in mercy, his hair began to grow again. And what happens is that when you sin, you're like one whose hair has been cut off, which was a sign of a Nazarite, and you are away from God. And God could have destroyed him at that time. But instead, it says, his hair began to grow again. And what God had raised him up for, to fight for the nation of Israel, the only time Samson ever fought for Israel, was when he was after something of the flesh because of some woman, and he had to fight the Philistines because of this woman. And at the last, when his hair began to grow again, finally, he who was to deliver Israel from the Philistines as a judge in Israel, he said, O God, he said, give me strength once more that I may be avenged because of my eyes upon the Philistines. Again, it wasn't a good motive, but at least when he died, he destroyed the enemies of Israel in his death. And so you can thank God for that. Now, tell me, suppose God had smitten David when he was committing adultery with Bathsheba. Can you think of something more horrible? You say, no, it would be the most devastating thing that ever happened to this man who was after God's own heart. But what did God do? David's hair, spiritually, had been cut. But God allowed David's hair to grow again. And we see David in 1 Kings and in 1 Chronicles 29, not when he was, say, 47 years of age, but we see him when he's some 70 years of age and he's about to die. And God gives him time to set his house in order before he dies. But he does not always give that opportunity. Let me ask you about Absalom, his son. Absalom was fighting against his father that he might take the throne away from his father. And as he was riding to escape through the thick woods, it says his head was caught in the limbs of an oak tree, and he was left hanging there between heaven and earth. And Joab came along and thrust three spears through his heart. Now tell me, would you like to die in that condition? When you're fighting against God's rightful king to be cut off in the midst of your sin, you'll say, God forbid. Well then, how much longer are you going to live? Do you know? Shall you live out the day? Well, what sin is in your life? What things remain to be done that you have left undone? Tell me right now. If God calls you home, are you prepared to meet him without shame? This is what it says in 1 John. And now, little children, abide in him, that if he shall appear, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And so think of your life and think of what you want to be doing when the Lord comes, because it says, abide in him, that we may not be ashamed when he comes. Some are going to be ashamed when Jesus comes because of what they're doing. What if something had happened like that? If God had appeared to David when he's committing adultery, God forbid that such a thing would ever happen. He would be ashamed. But God, in his goodness, lets him have all of these additional years, and he comes to his senses, and just as it says in Psalm 23, thank God for those words. Not only the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, but it says, he restoreth my soul. Thank God that he restores our soul. And so David's soul was restored. And this is the way his life can be summed up. God does not omit that great sin that he committed. But it says that David died old, full of days, it says he had riches and honor and glory, and he had reigned as king for 40 years. So thank God for that. It could have ended earlier. You realize that God says this about people, that God has allotted you a certain amount of days, some 30 years. John the Baptist, though he died at 30 years of age, he lived out all his days, because God has a certain amount of days for certain people. But it says that the wicked live not out half their days. And God had more days appointed for Absalom, the son of David. But he was wicked, and he did not live out half his days. Our Savior lived some 33 years. He lived out all his days. And so some of us may live a few years, and some of us may live length of days. But if you walk before God, if you are to be given 70, or 80 years, or, as in the case of Methuselah, God gave him 969 years. But I told you what happened to all old men. They eventually die, unless you're Enoch or Elijah. And if you are, I want to be near you to learn how, because I know I'm not that exceptional. So the thing that is important is this. It is the manner of death that you die. Get it in your mind. You're going to grow old, and you're going to die. David said, I have been young, and now I am old. There's one thing I can say that not one of you young persons can say. Not one of you. You can say, I have been young. Can you say, I have been old? Can you? You say, no. Then, I've been what you have been, and I am now what you are not. And it may be, in God's goodness, you'll be able to say someday, I have been young, and now am old, and you will have reflections upon life. But now, you're only young. So think of your old age. Pray to God, let me live out all my days. Let me not die as the wicked do and not live out half my days. And let all my days glorify you. This is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, in nothing shall I be put to shame, but now as always Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. For to me to live is Christ. And so the only reason he wanted to live was to live for Christ. And then he said, and when I die, it's going to be gain. Now, Paul could say, to die is gain. I told you that David had been young, and now he's old. And I've told you that some things are said of David in his youth, such as Psalm 18. That psalm when he says, Lord, I walk before you perfectly. I am innocent. I am a man of integrity. I've done everything that's right. And he could honestly say that when he was young. But then you read Psalm 51 when David had grown old. And he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions and cleanse me thoroughly from my sin. Why? Because he had been young, and now he's old. And he found out just as Elijah did. Elijah thought he was invincible when he killed all the hundreds of prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel sent him a threatening letter. The gods do so to me and more also, if your life is not as the life of one of my dead prophets that you kill tomorrow. And it said Elijah saw it, and he ran for his life. Can you imagine such a thing? And he sat down under a sycamore tree, and he requested of God that he die and not live. And he said, I'm no better than my fathers. Right now, you young people think you're better than your fathers, you see. But what you do, live 70 or 80 or close to 100 years, and you'll find out that you're no better than your fathers. And whereas at one time in your life, you can write Psalm 18 and speak of your innocence and your integrity and your faithfulness, God forbid. But very likely, sometime through your life, it will occur. something that happened in the life of David. And then in your old age, Psalm 51 will be a part of your experience as well. I mention that for this reason. Do you realize that from New Testament times, eternal life as we know it was not revealed unto man? It says in 2 Timothy that the Lord Jesus Christ abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. If the Lord Jesus abolished death and he brought life and immortality to light, what was life and immortality before he brought it to light? You say it was in the dark. Why, of course. God reserved special things for the Lord Jesus. And most of the people in the Old Testament had the experience of life and immortality in darkness. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, through their whole lifetime, through fear of death, they were subject to the devil. They were afraid of death. And David was afraid of death as well. Why? Because he pleads with God. He says, I do not want to die. He said, if I die, he said, nobody in the grave, nobody in the next world is going to praise you. Nobody can do that. God, if I'm alive and I'm on earth, I can praise you. And Hezekiah said the same thing. He said, the living, they are the ones that praise you. So do not let me die. And so you say, well, I can well understand why David would feel that way. If life and immortality were not brought to light until Christ came, but what happens is this, it was not brought to light to all, but to some. You realize that there was a friend of God named Abraham, and concerning Abraham, our Savior says this, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. How many people in the Old Testament rejoiced to see the coming of Christ and saw Christ's coming and was glad? You say, well, I only know of one. Yes, I know of another, David. Why? Because he not only wrote Psalm 6 at an early age, but at a later age, he wrote the other Messianic Psalms. I told you that. And what you have to do is to understand about David's entering into the Messianic Psalms and the things that God revealed to him as a prophet and the things that he knew about the Son of God that others did not know about God's Son. In Psalm 6, he had not had these revelations yet. But listen to what he says in Psalm 17. He says this. He said, there are worldlings and the only thing they want is possessions. And they want children, and when they have children, they want to leave everything to their children, that they may inherit it. That is what they live for. They are satisfied with the things of earth. But David said, as for me, I shall be satisfied when I behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy form. Did you realize that what I quoted this morning at the remembrance meeting? We know that when Christ shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. David said, that's going to happen to me as well. And before John told it to you, David knew it. He said, I shall behold God's face in righteousness. He was a miserable sinner, but now he is justified. He's cleansed. And he says, I'm going to behold your face in righteousness. And if you were unrighteous, who could behold the face of God? But he says, I shall behold thy face in righteousness, and more than that, he said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy form. And so now, David, when he grew old, knew that when he left this life and went to the next, he would behold God's face in righteousness. He would not say to God in his presence, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, cleanse me, forgive me, purify me. He said, that will be necessary no more. He said, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. He said, and I'm going to possess thy form. Isn't that a remarkable thing? Now, if you thought that when you died, your existence in the unseen world was one of darkness and one of weakness and no strength and uncertainty, yes, you would be afraid to die. But if you knew to depart and be with Christ was far better, if you knew that when you awoke from the sleep of death, you would have God's form, you think you could enter death with courage under those conditions? You say yes. Well, then you had better learn the teachings of the Word of God. Because David knew those things, and that is why he could say with Paul, not to the same fullness of revelation, but he knew these things. He knew about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knew about the resurrection of the dead. In Psalm 16, Peter tells us that when he wrote that psalm, you see, the higher critics would say, David is talking about himself. It says that David was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he knew that the Messiah was going to die, and he knew these things concerning the Messiah. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the light of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He said, that is what my coming son, because he was also the root of David and the offspring of David. He said, that is what is going to happen to the Messiah, my son that's greater than Solomon, when he comes. He's going to die, and you'll not leave his soul in hell, neither shall your Holy One see corruption. Listen to this. He said, there's something else I know about my son that's going to come in the future. Because you must remember this, that God said, there shall come a son out of your loins, and this is what shall happen to him. It happened figuratively in Solomon. It happens ultimately and fully in Jesus Christ. And he said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 110, he said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. David saw into heaven, and he saw his son raised from the dead, invited by God to sit at his right hand, and he would give him the heathen for his inheritance. Do you understand this? Now, if I know that someone has entered into death and come out of death, if this one is seated at God's right hand, and if I can say with those revelations given to me, as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy form, then not this form that is turning to corruption, but the form that is that of the immortal, the eternal God. That's the form that I'm going to have. Tell me, could you face death under those circumstances? If you had already looked beyond death and seen the right hand of God and seen those that were dead that are alive and they're in heaven and God's Son is at his right hand, do you think you could face death with courage then? If you have had the experience of Stephen in Acts when he was stoned and before he died, he said, I behold the heavens open and the Son of Man at the right hand of God. It says the heavens were open, he saw the glory of God and the Son of Man standing at God's right hand. If you saw that before you died, would you be afraid to die then? You say, be afraid to die. To see heaven and to be able at that moment to walk into heaven, would I be afraid? Why, it would be a welcome departure from this life. And so I want you to understand about David as a young man who is afraid of death, and David as an old man who is now prepared to die. And others are saying, what is going to happen to me? This is something I never forgot. I was asked one time years ago to take the funeral of a young woman whose husband had died. And this woman came to me and said, Milton, where is my husband? And the woman had been saved for years. Where is her husband? To depart and be with Christ is far better. He's in the presence of Jesus Christ. That is where your husband is. But she hadn't learned it. She didn't have that conviction in her heart. And therefore, where is my husband? Life is so uncertain. There is no stability in life. Why, of course not. Because she was one like David when he was young. But some, thank God, become like David when he's old. And so even though you may be old and cold, and you may have afflictions and sickness and pain, yet if you know that as soon as you leave this world and go into the next, all of those things are going to disappear, you'll have the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall behold God's face in righteousness. Then you'll be able to say with Paul, Paul said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And he was not afraid of death. Why? He had been caught up to the third heaven. He had been there. He did not wonder what was going to happen after death. He had already been there. And because he had been there, he said to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And so here is David in his youth and in his old age. And his life as a whole had been worthwhile. And he could look back with joy, and he could look forward with anticipation and with courage. And that's the way our lives are supposed to be. You are young, but someday you're going to be old, become old as David became old. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, thou hast told us that death, which is now appointed to all men, it was not something that you intended at first. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. You told us, by man came death, by man came resurrection of the dead also. We thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord. We are thankful for those few in the Old Testament who knew a fullness about the life to come that others did not know. But now, our God, we know all that David knew, and we know more beside, because you've given us the fullness of the revelation of the Word of God. Let us search it, our Father, so that we may live this life and magnify Christ, and that when we die, it shall be a manner of death that glorifies God. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.